الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in the ayat which I have recited, which is a very well-known and famous ayat in the Holy Quran, in the fourth juz of the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hold fast unto the rope of Almighty Allah, together and with unity, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا and do not become disunited." اللہ تعالیٰ کا فرمان ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کی رسی کے اوپر آپ مضبوطی کے ساتھ تامے رکھو اور اختلاف پیدا نہ کرو اور ایک دوسرے کے خلاف نہ ہو جاؤ. That is this ayat which I have recited before you. We are all aware that there is great emphasis upon unity in every civilization, in every teaching. People talk about the benefits of unity. And there can be no two views with regard to the benefits and the advantages and virtue of unity. Unity is strength. Unity is strength. Ittihad mein mazbooti hai. Aur agar ittihad na ho, to usme kamzori hai. If there is no unity, there is weakness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. And our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also given us this teachings, فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَعَةِ. Allah's blessing is with the united lot. That means if you are not united, there is no barakah. يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَعَةِ. Allah's hand of assistance is upon the united lot. Allah تعالیٰ کے مدد اتحاد کے ساتھ ہے. اگر اتحاد نہ ہو, if there is no اتحاد and if there is no unity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's madad and assistance goes away. And unity is such a thing. When sand grains unite, they form an entire desert. When drops of water, which individually does not have value, they unite, they become an entire ocean. This body is an amalgamation and unity between the heart, the soul, and the corpse, and the outer form of our body. If, for example, there is no unity and no synergy in this, so you take away the heart which pumps blood into the body, the heart which is the entire beat of the body, us dil ko aap badan se alag karo, to phir kya hota hai? If you take this heart away from the body, wallahi, after a day, not even a dog will want to eat that heart. It will rot. And this particular body will become useless. So if there is unity between the two, the heart is in the body, you find an insan. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. That do not dispute with one another. Do not be disunited. For if you are disunited, Allah Ta'ala takes away your strength. You become weak. You become a coward. So if there is no unity in the ummah, you become weak and you become a coward. And not only within the ummah, even in families, when there is no unity, you find the family unit becomes weak. I have seen empires. I have seen families that were so great and they did so well. When there was disunity in that families, you find the disintegration of the families. And today you find many a times there are individual lots, but they are no more the strength and the unity that they had. They are no more as strong as they were when they were united. In the words of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the son of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say that as long as you are not united in the true sense of the word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance will not come upon the ummah. And he said in the time of Madinah Munawwara, in the ideal time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if they were 10,000 people, then every person had the support and the help of 9,999 people. No one wished him bad. That was a unity in Medina, which led to the glory of Islam in later years. Now there is one aspect. that while we can talk about the aspect and the benefits of unity, many a times people get confused and say that people feel that unity means everyone must have one viewpoint. A lot of times people make this big mistake that ittihad ka matlab ye hai ke sab ek hi khyal ke ho. There is only one view. That is not unity. Unity is to unite despite difference and divergent views in the ummah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Among the signs of Allah, He created the heavens and earth, and He made people into different colors. وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Different ethnic groups, and you have different colors. It is in the beauty of Allah's creation, it is the beauty of the world that there is different colors. Can you imagine if there would have only been one color in this world? There would have not been the beauty of creation. If, for example, you go into an orchard and you only find all flowers of one color, like compare that, and you go into an orchard and you find different types of colors blooming, and you find orange, and you find red, and you find white, and you find all of that, which is better? Obviously, the orchard that has got different colors. So colors, different colors has got some, is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. In a similar manner, different views sometimes brings about many benefits to the ummah. The great scholar Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that complete consensus and complete unity of people is only possible in two instances, where all people are stupid and dumb, or people are dishonest. Complete unity. Sab ek hi jagah par jama ho, ek hi khayal ke ho, wo to usi waqt ho sakta hai ke sab bewakoof ho, ya sab jo hai wo sahi tarah se amanatdari se kaam nahi kar rahe ho. Lekin agar kisi ke paas zahanat ho aur kisi ke paas amanatdari ho, to wahan pe do mukhtalif qisam ka khayal ka hona zaruri hai. Let me give you an example. If everyone is dumb, that means no one has the ability to have another view, so that everyone can be one. So you find these different types of animals and sheep, they will all follow one because they got no zahanat, they got no intelligence. Or I think that something, someone had said something, I believe that it is not good. Mere khayal mein ye sahi nahi hai. Lekin main sahi tarah se amanatdari ke saath main ye nahi keh sakta hu ki jo aapne kaha hai mere nazdeek ye sahi nahi hai. Ya to mujhe aap samjhaye ya fir jo hai na mere khayal mein aur mere nazdeek ye sahi nahi hai. So either everyone is dumb, so they can't form another view, or if, for example, everyone is, they are dishonest, so they, even if they feel someone is wrong, they don't have the courage, they don't have the honesty, they don't have the integrity to say that, listen, bhai, I don't agree with you on this matter. So this is the reality with regard to deen also. There will be different views. Now, we're not saying that anyone must adopt these views despite him not having the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. We're not saying this with regard to this. But there are certain aspects. One is, there is no scope for difference of opinion in deen. There is no scope for difference of opinion in deen on the fundamentals of deen. Jahan pe halal aur haram ka ta'ayyun kya kya ho Quran aur Hadith mein, ya aqaid ke baat agar ho, to usme jo hai ikhtilaf ki koi gunjaish nahi. There is no scope for accommodation, or there is no accommodation for difference of views or opinions on this. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is very ajeeb, an amazing statement. He says, if someone comes to you and says that I know of a prophet after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aliyadu billah nakla kufar nabashad, that I know of a Nabi after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and another person tells him, okay, give me your opinion. What is your opinion? And give me your dalil and evidence that there is other Nabi after Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never mind that person. For you to ask that person for evidence, you have come close to kufr. You have come close to kufr. How can you ask evidence for a person in deen that there is a Nabi after Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So there is no scope for these type of matters. And where example halal and haram have been clearly established, there is a definition. No one can say that instead of 5 days, 6 daily salat, or zina is not haram. These are very clear-cut injunctions in which there is no scope for difference of opinion. But there are certain other matters where, for example, the Quran and Hadith is silent. Or for example, there is no clear-cut injunction from the Quran and Hadith, and the ulama look into the Quran and Hadith and they try to find out what is the closest to what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant. So that in these particular type of situations, then these differences of opinion must be respected, and there is accommodation for those type of differences of opinion. That type of difference of opinion, there is. Or for example, in today's time, a very clear-cut situation. We don't have an overriding authority. So we don't know, we don't have a Nabi. We don't have wahi coming down to tell us this is right, this is wrong. So people have different views what is beneficial for the ummah. Ummat ke falah o behbood kis raaste mein hai? To isme ikhtilaf ho sakta hai. Now, when bearing this in mind, when we have these situations, it's important for us to be able to have the right attitude towards that type of difference of opinion. So that difference of opinion does not impact upon the unity and the vision and the strength of Islam. In the past, this is what happened. And when it happened, despite the difference of opinion, Muslims still remain strong. Today, unfortunately, our difference of opinion has not been able to be in such a way that we have been able to maintain the strength of Islam. Our difference of opinion, our disunity has caused harm to the Muslim Ummah. To a time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had such a difference of opinion which led to a war. But when the Roman Empire wrote to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and said, I will help you in your fight against Ali radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote back and said, be aware, don't take advantage of our difference of opinion. The day, despite my difference with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the day you attack Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, you will find Muawiyah standing behind Ali to fight against you. You will find Muawiyah standing behind Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to fight you. You don't take advantage of our situation. There was difference of opinion. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu came for Hajj once. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu read 4 rakats in Mina. Now perhaps the ulama say Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu had made an intention to stay in Makkah for some period, whatever it is. And Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, after the salah, told his students, what is Uthman doing? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, read 2 rakats. Why is Uthman radiallahu anhu reading 4? He was somewhat upset. But the next namaz, the next prayer, the next salat, he read namaz behind Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. Someone said, but just before that you were complaining. Why did he read 4 instead of 2? He said, my difference is on his place. He is the Khalifa. I will perform and I will read salat behind him. You see, difference. But look at that respect. And in today's time, we don't have that situation. And you know, you can have difference of opinion for various reasons. Sometimes your understanding of the text is different. Sometimes your temperament is different. Sometimes your temperament is different. Right? So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, what must we do? What must we do with the prisoners of war in Badr? Kya kare? Unke saath hum kya kare? So what? There were 2 views. One was championed by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One was championed by Umar radiallahu anhu. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Ya Rasulullah, this is the first war between truth and falsehood. And we must set an example that truth is truth. And truth is truth. And therefore, we must say that the prisoners of war must be executed to show that the Quraysh must not take another chance to harm the Muslims and to show that Islam is more important than blood. The people who are the closest to the prisoners must execute them. So, agar koi qaidi ho, to uska kareeb tareen rishtedar usko jo hai na wo qatl karega. His closest relative must kill him. Umar radiallahu anhu had that view. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, more muse. Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, forgive them. Forgive them. Maybe they will come. If we show forgiveness, maybe in time to come, they will accept Islam if they don't accept Islam, their children will accept Islam. And why is he? Most of them became Muslims. Most of those prisoners in time came Muslims. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the two views. And what did he say? What an amazing thing he said. He said, "Oh, Abu Bakr and Umar, your example is like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past. And oh, Umar, your example is like Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala Nuhu Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirin diyara." And he made dua. And what dua was his? "Oh Allah, do not leave one single disbeliever alive in this world. Complete and eradicate and destroy all of them." And oh, Abu Umar, your example is like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who made dua for Fir'aun. Rabbana tmis ala amwalihim, wasdud ala qulubihim. Oh Allah, destroy his wealth and put a seed on his heart. He must not have iman, he must not bring iman until he sees your punishment. Allah unko hidayat na de. It was Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Oh Umar, your example is like that. And oh Abu Bakr, your example is like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was inclined towards leniency and he was inclined towards mercy. In tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. Who made dua for his ummah. Oh Allah, if you punish them, you are entitled to punish them. But if you forgive them, you also have the capacity to forgive them. And oh Abu Bakr, your example like is like Ibrahim. Ibrahims are normally soft. Anyway, whatever it is, he said, what did he say? فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua. Oh Allah, those people of my ummah who follows me, Ya Allah, they are minds. You will show rahm and mercy upon them. وَمَنْ أَسَانِي. And even those who disobey you, even those who are transgressors, Ya Allah, they are transgressors, but you are Ghafoorur Rahim. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, Abu Bakr, you are wrong. Umar, you are wrong. Different temperaments, different difference of opinion. Now, sometimes this can happen. Now, what do we have to do with regard to this? And throughout our history, people have had that balance. Had that balance with regard to understanding where difference of opinion is, how we are supposed to deal with it. Sometimes you are amazed with regard to how those difference of opinion panned out. How they used to have difference of opinion, yet they used to have respect for one another. Right? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi went to the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he performed salat the way the Ahnaf performed salat. And someone asked him, why did you do so? He said, out of respect for the person of this qabr. Out of respect for the person of the qabr, I have read namaz like that. So that was that. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, I'll just give you an example. Imam Muzni rahmatullah alayhi, you know, was, anyway, the time will go wrong. These are very many, many incidents we can make mention of. The aspect is for us to understand that in difference of opinion, you can see and you must never ever destroy the unity of the ummah in the difference of opinion. Three things I will make mention with regard to, very important in this regard. One is, in your opinion, do not become self-centered. Do not follow your nafs. Ke haq ke bajaye hum apne nafs ki pairvi karte ho. The moment in your opinion you don't look at truth but you look at your own motives, Allah says in the Quran, "Wala tattabi al-hawa fa yudillaka an sabilillah." The moment you follow your desires, you are gone from the straight path. The moment you become self-centered, you will never ever be able to get the right path. If you start looking at your own self, I'm the one. Then if you start looking at your nafs and your motives, you will never get the right path. The second thing which is very important is that you must never ever take the view that my view is the only view that is right. Sirf main hi haq par hoon. This has been the cause of great harm to the Muslim ummah throughout ages. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh had a student. As the student was departing, he told him, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, give me a little bit of advice. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani gave him advice that do not become Allah, do not become Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Allah, I'm your student for so many years. You telling me I must not become Allah, I must not become Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What have you taught me? How can you think of me such? So I said, I'm not saying that you are going to become, you know, directly saying that you are Allah or you are Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always right. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam is always right. When a human being says, I am only right, then in reality, he is trying to copy and imitate Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't do that. And do not ever take this particular viewpoint, I am the only one that is right.
In that way, you are trying to imitate in a way Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then another point which I like to make mention that we need to be careful of. Sometimes we have this unfortunate situation that you have one disagreement with a person. You have 99% you have an agreement with him. Ek hi Allah, ek hi Rasul, ek hi Nabi, ek hi Quran. Fir kyun batak gaya insan? We have 99% things that we are united upon. One thing you disagree with someone on a small matter, then that person, you become his enemy. So you say he is not a Muslim, he's like this and he's like that. Look at the situation. And you know, there is more greater aspects of unity within us to bring us together than any other religion. You know, the Christians, for example, can have disunity because they are not even united on their Bible. Which Bible? Which translation? Which version? King James version, this version, that version. Did you ever hear our Muslims ever saying that which version of the Quran? We got one Quran, we got one Nabi, we got one source, we got one Hadith, we got one Allah. And yet, for example, for us to have these type of situations is not supposed to be like that. So these are the... So third thing is, you have a difference of opinion. And then another thing with regard to unity, which I think is very important, is for us that we need to understand we are one group. كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ. Be like a united lot, like a structured wall, that when it comes together, the wall becomes strong. And if there is no structured wall and there is no unity in the building, then that wall will collapse. You know, remind me of a very beautiful incident. It's a hypothetical tale, but it gives you a very... You see, and it came from India. The person who wrote it was, he said there were three bulls, you know, in Bell. And one was white in color, one was black in color, one was brown in color. There used to be a tiger that always wanted to attack them, but they always used to stand united. And when they used to stand united, then the tiger could not attack them, because every time the tiger came through, the three came together and they protected one another. So now the tiger one day went to the white bull and said, you know what? You are white. You are the one who is the king. You are supreme. Why must you accept these other ones who have different colors? Why must you accept them? So he said, so he told tiger, what must I do? He said, when I attack the black bull, all I'm asking you, just keep quiet. Don't say anything. Just keep quiet. Don't say anything. So he said, okay, I'll do that. And he told the same thing to the brown bull. The next day, the tiger found the black bull alone and he attacked the black bull. And when he attacked the black bull, the white ones and the brown bull, they heard the anguish. For a moment, their guilt wanted them to do something, but then their own personal interests, they said, leave him alone. And they allowed the black bull to be devoured by the tiger. Then after a while, he came again to the white bull and said, you are the one who is the supreme. Why must you even accept another person in this particular situation? And just keep quiet when I attack the brown bull. And the next day he attacked the brown bull. The white bull said nothing. And after the third time, the tiger came towards the white bull. And this time he didn't come with any suggestions. The white bull realized it has come to kill him. And he said, before I die, give me a permission to do something. So he said, go and do something. So he said, he went onto the hill and said, I'm not dying today. I'm dead the day you attack the black bull. I'm not dying today. I died the day you attacked the black bull and I kept silent. That's the day I died. I'm not dying today. I'm dying the day you attacked the black bull and I kept silent. Brothers, that is a unity that we have to think about also. That in terms of the difference of opinion, which we have to accommodate in different type of situations, we must never ever have in a situation like this that we will be acquiescent in terms of the overall good of the community and society, irrespective of other differences of opinion that we will have. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal.